Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. I am your host, Angela Alberti. If you guys have heard any of the podcasts that I've had a chance to do before in the past, you know that a lot of it revolves around talent, talent delivery, staffing and recruiting, and really how that world is evolving so rapidly around us. And that is exactly what today's episode is going to be about. So thank you guys for joining us wherever you're tuning in from around the world. We appreciate you spending a few moments with us. And we often have the opportunities to speak with entrepreneurs, people that are starting their own businesses. And that is certainly the case in today's episode. CJ Tufano is who I am interviewing today. CJ, can you give the audience a little bit of background on who you are and what you're doing?
Hey, Angela, well, thank you for having me so much. I appreciate the time and the opportunity to share what my experience is in the past and my career and how I could help add some value to your audience and tell everybody what we're doing. I'm really excited about the prospects and the future of what we're doing. I'm actually a former accountant, a failed misfit toy that turned into an agency recruiter, and then ultimately became a startup founder over after having 8 years of experience recruiting for accountants when I was at some of the largest agencies in New York City. And now we recently decided to leave full-time the recruiting world to now build out Cherry Picker full-time.
Congratulations, accountant turned recruiter turned entrepreneur. Yep. That's a pretty amazing scope of story. Can you dive into, I guess, what was the trajectory? How did you dive into accounting to recruiting and then deciding to start out on your own? Can you give us a little bit of a timeline?
Absolutely. I guess it all starts, in college. I was really good at math. I come from an old school Italian family. They're very motivating. They were saying, pick a career that's going to be a stable one that pays well. I started working in 2009 at the peak of the economic crash. So I was looking to make money right out of college. And that's all it was like my main priority. Unfortunately, I didn't love accounting. I found that out pretty quickly when I got into public accounting, was a candidate working with recruiters. They're pitching me opportunities. I worked at a large public accounting firm, got sick, got fat, got stressed, got anxious, decided that this is not a healthy lifestyle for me. However, if it was a better path for me, if I was working on different clients, probably would have ended up staying. Ultimately failed the CPA exam multiple times. It just wasn't in the cards. And then I decided just to quit cold turkey to go into another accounting role on the corporate side. So I saw on the private side of the world, worked with recruiters then, got a taste of how that process works, and job seeking is very stressful and it's just too much to deal with sometimes. But ultimately I gave accounting the second shot that it needed, proved to my parents it wasn't my passion, it wasn't what I was meant for me. And then all my friends were in recruiting. They transferred out of accounting into the recruiting world and said, CJ, you're not an accountant, you're a recruiter. Your personality lends itself to this environment and you know a lot of people, so you could help a lot of people based on your knowledge. So we made that transition, got trained by some of the best recruiters in the state. A couple of recruiters were took me under their wing, and I got off to a very quick start billing about 50,000-60,000 my first month, 40,000-60,000. Wow. I forget. I made 3 placements on my 1 month anniversary. So it just fit me like a glove. It was just coming easy. And then I found some things like in my day to day that ultimately felt that needed to improve the industry or how things are done. Whether it's candidate relationships, matching candidates to jobs, marketing candidates to jobs, or helping clients have access to a large talent pool, pipeline. And out of necessity, Cherry Picker was born on one of my worst days at one of my old firms. And I just needed a way to duplicate myself. So we built Cherry Picker off of, some proprietary formulas and email marketing, text marketing. And it just became born that way out of necessity.
Now you guys are going to be going live soon, right? Y'all are going to be launching soon, or are y'all live yet?
So we are finishing up our testing phases right now, making sure everything QA is tight. So when it releases the market, everything is smooth, because we really pride ourselves on confidentiality. We hide every background, every candidate that's on our platform. We hide their backgrounds. We hide their name. We hide where they work. We hide their contact information, any identifying information we hide. So we want to make sure we don't accidentally release that information to people that shouldn't be seeing it, whether it's your current employer or a future employer. Like, there has to be mutual interest, you know, in this world of double opt-in. So we are doing testing. Our timeline right now is probably, we're targeting May 1st to be in the App Store and start to onboard candidates and then signing up our hiring managers as well. But it probably will be somewhere in this quarter, Q2. 2022.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations to you. I certainly know about the phase of QA testing and beta, you know, trying your first, you know, first couple of clients on board, particularly with MyBasePay and everything that we've launched on that end. So what was that moment for you to realize that Cherry Picker was going to be the big leap of faith? And how did you get the name for it?
You know, it's funny. I have a family member, I call him the godfather of Cherry Picker, because just one day I was describing what I wanted to do. And he actually comes from pharmaceutical marketing. And so he's a very good copywriter, you know, so he was just, he's very creative. Shout out to Mitch, if he's listening, Mitchell Nini, hit him up on LinkedIn. He's really smart. So the name actually just came out of just common sense, just thinking like, how do I pick the best talent? Like, so if you see the logo, we have like this red dot. Pick the top talent from the tree, the, you know, the branches are our network. So we want to basically cherry pick people from a database and you start beginning the hiring process. So we just figured that brand name recognition would make the most sense for people to remember. Oh yeah, I want to be cherry picked, you know, or I want to be invited to Cherry Picker because I want to be cherry picked by hiring managers. Yeah. So that was when we came up with the name, but the actual inspiration behind the app itself is that was your,
right,
you were asking.
Right. Right.
So basically, just go back to that question. I had so many candidates, like really good candidates that I had sourced from LinkedIn and from my own personal and like network of referrals. I just didn't have enough time to market them to all my clients. And I wanted like a really easy way to mass market them at the same time. So we had to come up with like, you know, attribute tags, as we call them, DNA tags, which is like organizational categories that describe somebody's background. But we also needed to sort by years experience, by their salary requirements, their location preferences, everything encompassing into this algorithm of matching. I created something, you know, ad hoc on the fly one day out of necessity, you know, using a couple of tools and piecing it together with like email marketing software. And I was able to make a lot of placements. In the first 12 months, we did like $400,000 in placement revenue at my firm using the strategies that I was using. And I started doing text messaging and realizing that people are responding at such high rates on their mobile phone. So I said, what if we created an app connected to an ATS software, connected to some sort of marketplace, and become like the Amazon, LinkedIn dating app of job seeking? So we wanted to create this experience where everybody's connected together. There's this double opt-in protection. Their identity is hidden. So it's diverse friendly. That's a big key issue nowadays we find. You know, a lot of companies have a threshold of diversity to hit. So we need to make sure that everybody's on a level playing field and you can't identify somebody by their color, their skin or their appearance,
their name.
Yeah. There's so many times where a name disqualifies somebody. When the person changes their name from, you know, one thing to like Matt, an Americanized name, they got all these interviews. So I was like, this is a problem. We need to solve it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where the inspiration came from. And it just fit in, you know, what our needs are now, you know, in the world of staffing.
That is fantastic. And congratulations to you once again on the launch, or what is to be the soon expected launch for Cherry Picker. I'd like to kind of stem away from that and go outside of it in more of a general term and really get your idea on what are some of the staffing trends. And I think you guys are onto it right now. I really think that the onset of Cherry Picker is really reflective of where the evolution of talent delivery is going. But what are some of those trends that really excite you within the staffing and talent acquisition space, at least at this time?
Sure. I think candidate engagement is huge. Figuring out how to nurture your leads and keep their attention. Yeah. So whether it's creating content or following up, automating follow-ups, helping to book phone calls with your candidates, or spending more time relationship building rather than these like administrative tests as a sourcer or as a recruiter, whether it's editing resumes. There's so many of these AI tools out there that allow us to scale our processes. And that's kind of like how I got started. Was I broke down everything that I did that was administrative and pinpointed where I could improve it automated, and then really free up time so I could actually get on the phone with these candidates or text them or be there as a guide, as a career advisor, rather than this like sales, this used car salesman who's trying to shove a job down their throat. You know, like that's, nobody ever wants that, right? So that's kind of where I see the candidate engagement is huge. AI matching. I know there's like a lot of machine learning companies coming out there that are very data driven. And that's our approach, is we take a data driven approach combined with human touch, because you can never get rid of that like human touch element out of this space. Because we have to make human judgments on who's a good fit for a job. And yeah, a piece of paper with attributes can help us get so far. But if we could somehow automate the scheduling, get the video set up for the interview, and then maybe there's like some post-interview questionnaire that answers some of the other fills in the blanks, we could speed this up very quickly, you know, if everything is tightly knit together, you know.
And still honing in on that value of humanized, you know, aspect of what we're doing, because you're spin. Sure. I think that is a key reflection on how automation is only going to further enhance the life of a recruiter.
No doubt.
But let's take it a couple steps back now, because I'm just interested and curious to hear your thoughts on that. You fell into recruiting, and you were an accountant before, so this is something that was totally new to you, and you did well in it, and you were able to thrive into the role. And really excel the agency that you were affiliated with in prior life. What were some of those qualities that you think you have that are fundamental to any recruiter? If they are going to do well in this space, you have to be X, Y, and Z. What does X, Y, and Z mean to you?
X, Y, and Z. Number one is being a good listener. I'm a big talker, as you could probably imagine right now. I do talk. I talk a lot. My parents tell me to be quiet. You know, my friends, you know, relationships, that was always an issue. I talked a lot, right?
Yeah.
However, I was a very good listener, and I absorb, I listen, I give constructive feedback, I give advice, but I humanize it. Instead of looking at everybody as a dollar sign or looking at everybody as a potential placement, I'm looking at them from, hey, this is a relationship and I'm building it. I'm playing the long game with every one of my clients and saying, I want to know if you have kids. I want to know if they play baseball. I want to know if you live by the water. I want to know where you went on vacation. I want to know so I can relate my life to that and say, or how I can add value by, here's some advice on career trajectory. I think number one is listening. Number two is just being a good person. That's number two. And then three is being process oriented. I think understanding that there's tools out there that can confuse the process, but there's tools out there that can expedite a process. And as I was going back saying before, I've whiteboarded out my entire process soup to nuts and said, all right, emailing. I've been typing out manual emails. I got to have templates for everything. The next thing is I'm on LinkedIn. I send templates. I have templates in a sheet, or I have like tools, like add-on tools where I could just clip in a template. That saves so much time. Like all those little seconds add up. And when you're dealing with hundreds of people a day, it's a paramount, you know? So having those automated processes really are game-changing nowadays. And I'd love to see the innovation in a legacy business that needs tons of innovation, and a lot of money's been dumped in it in the last, it's great to see. Like, honestly, I'm very excited for the future of HR and future work. You know, it's an exciting time to be where we are right now.
I agree with you. I think there's a recent article that talked about how much money is being poured into the HR tech space. And you're right, those seconds, they add up so much. So the efficiency behind it, but I want to, you know, prong a little bit more into your second point, being a good person, right?
Yep.
And let's be honest, because you referenced it already on this podcast, there's this notoriety that's carried with recruiters, the used car salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Can you dive into that a little bit more and what you mean on your second point?
I think just from a long time ago, I remember even at some of the early years when I was at my prior firms, you know, I remember working with some really old school recruiters, and they had to work off of phone lists and getting past operators. Yeah. Doing shady things just to get people on the phone. Right.
Yeah.
So those people, I guess they had to do some really dirty tactics or some bait and switch and fake job opportunities or dummy job posts. There's a lot of coercion that I see in the industry. I probably could have made a ton more money had I been more misleading, to get them in the door, but you know, I tried not to be that person. Of course, they want us to make money for the firm. You're in a production seat as a recruiter. So just being a good person and playing by within the system, but playing within the rules and not, you know, creating issues for the person or like sending their resume before speaking to them. You know, that was a huge thing because it's the race to first or the race to last. I don't know how you want to describe it, but you get a resume, and I get a resume. Whoever sends it to the hiring manager first is who gets credit. I hated that game. And I just, the fact of the matter is there's a high chance that person would say yes. So you just sent it. And then you would rely on your sales skills to get them there. And that was like how we were trained. And I never liked that. I always like wanted to wait and, you know, try to
their input, right? Their general input. Thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make sure they're okay with me sending their resume someplace and they know that I'm working in their best interest. I don't want to just send it on their behalf and work backwards. You never want to build relationships that way because you lose trust. If you get somebody to trust you, they'll trust you with anything. And they'll trust you the next time you present them an opportunity. Like, CJ, if you see anything in real estate with X, Y, and Z attributes, just send it my way or just send it on my behalf. I trust you. You lose that trust if you send it before you even told them about the opportunity.
It's very subjective, but it's something that I do agree with you. It's general. Once you establish somebody's trust, they can generally trust you on so many other things. Like, let me introduce you to this guy. And this is how you start to build a referral network or even a client network. So very valuable. And I love what you said about that. Let's go a little bit more on a general term here in terms of work and talent delivery, because you mentioned this. You know, it's an exciting time to be a part of this industry. You know, I've spoken on many of these podcasts and we talk about the future of work. If you guys have been on LinkedIn, then 100% chance that you've seen that terminology. What does that mean to you?
So future work to me believes that it's A, like you said, how we deliver the talent or how people do their job or how they perform tasks in their job. Yeah. So I think there's three categories to that in my mind. I think candidate engagement and or the delivery of that talent. Keying in on that is saying, are there portals? Is there, you know, a digital storefront, which is what we're trying to do. But there's a lot of client portals out there, like with Bullhorn. I think one of the prior guests, had that. A lot of these other ATS software companies are building out their own proprietary portal so that when a recruiter wants to present a candidate, that's one way of presenting, delivering the candidate. There's also a lot of like AI chat engagement with the company, which I think it's kind of cumbersome. But if it's day-to-day with the candidate or day-to-day with the, you know, on the side with talking to your clients through chat is a way to go. I think that how people do their jobs. So we have Airtables, we have Zapier, you know, we have Integromat. We have all these little automation connecting tools with APIs. And for those who don't know what API is, it's basically a way to connect multiple apps together and transfer data back and forth. Sometimes it's a one-way street or sometimes it's a two-way street. You know, if you could send data here, it comes back. With that innovation, we're able to do so much so quickly. And then obviously data collection if you're on the recruiting side and sourcing side, what you do with that data, how you organize it, and then how are you able to market to that data? And on the opposite side, on the internal side, you're doing something similar, but how do you keep track of these candidates? How do you know when you source them? How do you keep track of their last conversation? Can you automate a follow-up, say, hey, I know you applied for this job. You may be a better fit for this job that we just posted automatically. So that saves the time for sourcing because you have this warmed up audience that has already shown interest in your company. How do you automate that follow-up? That can save you time. So future of work, in my eyes, has a lot to do with engagement, marketing, and collection of data and how you process information and get the most out of that collection.
That's absolutely right. You're 100%. Nail on the head. I love the way that you've broken it down into three different buckets because it's so true. It's the way that it's delivered. It's the way that it's enhanced through candidate optimization. And it's even the experience thereafter. So let's talk a little bit more about the thereafter, right? They're hired, they're on board. What are some of your thoughts around the whole work from home movement? That's a huge element in how work is now being delivered and a huge segment of the future of work that we're tapping into. Do you have any, you know, general thoughts on work from home and really how you can make that conducive to a culture? I'm sure that you're probably going to be building a culture of people that work from home. Any thoughts around that?
Sure. Yeah. I think in terms of working remotely, it's a nice option for most candidates. I think it attracts talent in this day and age. It shows that you're forward thinking. It shows that you have the technology to support it. A lot of these old school companies, which I have plenty of clients like that, they just like being in the office. They like the energy. And don't get me wrong, I've been working remote since March 2020. I miss my coworkers. I miss my friends. You know, of course I could go work in a WeWork in this office. There's plenty of things where I do, but I work from home. So there's a catch 22. There's more productivity, but there's also less interaction. But that's the old school pitch is You get to be in the office, is the energy, the buzz of the room. If you're in a sales environment, if you're selling a very like tangible product, if it's not software, you have to be in the office to present it or to go visit clients. So to attract talent, you have to have the flexibility. It doesn't have to be fully remote, but there is plenty of talent across the country that could do a job remotely. I wouldn't just close it off. You're just closing the door on probably 75% of the talent. That's what they're looking for right now. I try to advise that to our clients and say, if you want to attract good talent, you have to keep up with the times. I know that everybody's in the office 5 days a week, but it may not continue that way in the next 2 or 3 years. You want to get ahead of it and you want to start building your systems and digitally transforming your business to maybe be able to handle this. So if you can't do that, I'm happy to consult on you on that end. I've tested so many different products. I know how to connect them, but you know your own processes and what you can handle in your infrastructure. If you can't handle it, and just based on your business, you just can't be can't do it remotely because some businesses you just can't. That's a business decision. I can't make that for them. But if you want me to help you bring you the best talent, you have to have the the perks to bring them here, or pay them competitively.
Especially in this market, right? It's
difficult. Especially in this market.
Yeah. So if
people are very money driven now because they know they can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Great Resignation. Thank you. Yeah. It's the Great Renaissance is what many of the people are talking about, but that perfect segue to my next question.
I don't like that word. I don't like Great Resignation. I feel like it was a time of like reflection, the great reflection. I don't know. I feel like people are learning what they're capable of doing and they're getting smart and they're either going out on their own and working in the gig economy and working on project basis or working with clients. Like, I think that is the future, is everybody's technically their own business owner, their own consultant. They have skills and everybody's going to be able to command their price. And if people can get that inspiration to build it up, to feel that way and have the confidence to be a consultant for themselves, I think that's where we're headed.
I love that. I agree with you. And I think as we have millennials and Gen Zers soon become the largest segment of the workforce, we can definitely see that happen. Now, speaking on that point, we have, I think 20 years ago, a great person was on your staff for 10 years or 15 years. And now we're dealing with the influx on how the psyche of the worker is changing and them kind of being their own boss. There's this freelance revolution that we know is happening, the entrepreneur, I think. What do you think is going to be some of the priorities that companies are going to have to fight this war on retention, I guess you can say? I have great talent. I want to make sure I can retain it for the next several years. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think a lot of companies, at least the one I came from, I could shout them out. The Backrack Group does a very good job of keeping people together, company culture, and having like internal events. They have like a game show. I think they did Family Feud not too long ago. We have company parties, even if it's like an outing to the Met or Yankee game. I'm based out of New York, so that's what we've done in the past. Go to a Knick game or just things that can be little things like we're having a movie night or having yoga on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, trying to keep people there, however, but giving them some like leeway where they have personal lives, they have families, they want to take their kid to soccer practice, they want to be able to go on vacation and bring their laptop, work remotely. Having that flexibility just like lessens the pressure. When it comes to retention, people are drawn by the next shiny object that's in front of them. So if it's money or if it's the next opportunity, the growth opportunity, you have to provide a path of growth for people. If you don't provide that, they're going to keep looking elsewhere. And to be honest, part of what Cherry Picker does is keep your options open. So we understand that psyche is prevalent in today's day and age. No, everybody's, I guess that social media did that to us, where like we're always looking at everything.
And the pandemic.
Everybody's looking for the next best thing or we're never satisfied. That's just our culture. So you got to keep your options open all the time. But the catch 22 is if you're a company, hiring costs are through the roof. Obviously, they're going to start going down because all the technology and innovation is going into the space. But you have to have perks. You have to have show value. You have to maybe have a conversation with somebody every once a year, twice a year, tell them how great they're doing. The kids now, the millennials, people that are coming up, need to be groomed and be like, oh, you're so doing so good. Like, it sounds cliche, but they have to be told how great they're doing. Otherwise, they're going to be like, we're not being valued. That's just like the characteristic of their generation. You know, mm-hmm. like they're not feeling valued. So they're going to go leave somewhere else. So somebody tells them that they're great. So unfortunately, that's
the trophy kid culture.
Corporate development is going to be a huge trend in 2022 and beyond.
Invest in my skills and my
training programs, like making sure everybody's on the same path or learning the same way or doing things the same process and standard operating procedures. Like, you need to have this documentation and trainings. Show that you care about your employees and pay them competitively. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely how I feel is where we're headed.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Great insight. Thank you for that. Well, as we're wrapping up today's podcast, there's just a couple questions more that I wanted to ask you. And sure. I really want to touch on one of the points that you made, which I think is fascinating about the platform that you're building on the anonymous nature of candidates and their background and their makeup and their physical makeup and their origin and how this can actually help enhance a company's DE&I initiatives, because you are right. And I'm willing to admit it, just like you are. There's this level of subconscious bias that we have had ingrained within our culture and our upbringing. Can you talk to the platform features that Cherry Picker has a little bit more in depth around this area?
Absolutely. So diverse hiring, as we know, we talked about it before, whether it's your name, the color of your skin, your gender, can really affect if you get a job or not. Even your age or the years experience you have, ageism is running rampant now. Those people are getting let go and they're being replaced by kids out of college or automation or technology. It's a really tough time if you're in that boat. So what we decided, what we thought would be fair, I was always wrestling with this idea, like, do we hide the entire profile and only have like their experience? Do we show just their job title? So what we do is you could see their job title. You could see their degree that they have. You could see the years experience that they have. You could see their salary requirements. You could see all of their skill sets, whether it's languages they speak, which is probably a tip of like what their nationality is. Not always, but you could tell if they speak Mandarin or if they speak Spanish, there's a chance that they could be either one of those. So we do have those attributes, but we hide their picture. We hide their contact information. We hide their current employer, because people should be able to search safely in a safe environment, and they should be in full control of who they share their data with. So say, for instance, for example, your company, MyBasePay, you need a senior accountant, right? You're searching our system. You type in corporate accounting, 3 to 5 years, 10 miles from New York, and you have this short list of candidates. We hide their name on the preview screen. You click it. You want to see what they do. You want to see their longevity, how many years they've been at a company. You get to see that, their dates of employment. You just don't see the name of the company or the picture, for that matter. And then from there, you go, I like this person. You request them. They get the notification on their phone. They review it. They say, I'm also interested in MyBasePay. Now you have the option to unlock them and review that background once again before you see who this person is. And we have different structures of pricing plans and stuff, whatever. We have subscription-based or pay-as-you-go type situation where it fits any budget. So you don't have to take the risk. You're only paying for somebody that you're mutually interested in, that fits your criteria, that you know is engaged with your company, that knows who you are, that knows that they want to work with you. So you could do that directly by clicking them in our database, or you could post a job and only pay for the people that show interest that you unlock. So you'll never see who's not interested in the company. You only see who's interested. So that way it protects both parties. And if you say no, nobody ever knows. You could go about your merry way. You could say no whenever you want. You're like, it doesn't meet my criteria as a candidate. And the company goes, this person doesn't look right for us, but you know, let's keep going. You know, there's a lot of options and flexibility in the platform that allows us to do that. And we do also want to give all that opportunity. We want to give it to everybody across the country. The only way to do that is to make it free. You know, so we have free access on both sides for candidates and the companies. There's just limited access. Obviously, it's a freemium if you're on the free version. But that's kind of how we're doing it on the diversity side.
That is awesome. That is great. I'm very excited to hear about what you guys are rolling out. And I'd love to potentially schedule some next steps on you know, a demo or how, you know, the system works. And I think that's for the future. Sure. But as we're wrapping up today's call, I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate some of the insights, some of the stuff that you're sharing. How do you stay up to date? What are your sources for learning, your content diet that you religiously look at every, whether that's every single day or, you know, as much as you can to stay up to date on things?
Sure. I guess I'm very deeply embedded in this space. I have a passion for it. So I'm on LinkedIn, on the news feeds. I try to, you know, boost people's posts and stuff. And then by just boosting posts, I get access to like random other posts, status updates. And then from there, you know, obviously I watch, you know, CNBC. I also read books. I'm testing. I have a thing like every month, I try to test 10 new products that are in my space so I could understand where they're going and know what, like, obviously my competitors are doing, or if there's ways for us to collaborate. So I'm always on the pulse of the new technology on how we could make the experience of job searching better for the candidates, the hiring managers, for the recruiters. And eventually, like after we run through my beta, I'm going to be the only recruiter on the platform to start doing our beta tests in New York. But the plan is to expand this to other recruiters across the country and have them use Cherry Picker as a storefront where they could share their candidate databases with everybody. And we have this collective database of pre-vetted talent that we've, you know, that's our goal. And the way we stay on top of it, I have a lot of conversations in Facebook groups. I try to contribute to some of the headhunter ones, independent recruiters, agency recruiters. I'm in a couple, and we just share ideas back and forth, and we get so much good dialogue there. Where I feel good. That's like I feel good when I help other recruiters that are up and coming on the come up. Like I didn't have that person when I was growing up, you know, in terms of the space. I didn't have that expert to really tell me about all these tools, but that's how I stay up to date.
That's awesome. It comes down to knowing who your tribe is, right? And having that value of mentorship as much as you can, whether that's in the form of indirect via a Facebook platform or, you know, something that can further develop on LinkedIn. That's some great insight. So before we wrap up today's podcast, CJ, where can our audience find you? You mentioned on LinkedIn, but is there an email address or a website that we can look to contact you?
Yes. So if you go to www.getcherrypicker.com, so that's GetCherryPicker.com, getcherrypicker.com. There's a lot of information on our website. There's a sign up form. There is a wait list to get onto our platform. We're an invite only platform to start. We have to get through tons of profiles of people that want to get onto this. And be able to start their search confidentially. There's videos there, explainer videos. We have actually a produced commercial on our main page. If you click it, it's about 2 minutes long. You could see how it works, soup to nuts. We have also a blog that you could follow and see all the up and coming tips and tricks of interviewing tips or salary negotiations, a lot of things that our app doesn't cover, but we want to provide that value to anybody who's looking for a job. And if they're not part of the platform, at least we could add some value to their lives. And obviously feel free to connect on LinkedIn if anybody's open to a strategic partnership or an affiliate partnership, because we have a very large audience of recruiters, candidates, and hiring managers. So if your product caters to any of those people, we could connect you to them. I'm happy to help even just set insight on how to connect some tools together. I hope that I could help anybody that's in this space.
That's great. Well, thank you. It's exciting to see what you guys are doing and really evolving into this modern storefront talent delivery platform that's aligning with all of these wonderful initiatives that we know is happening within the world of work, like diversity being one of them. So great to have you on the show, CJ. I hope that we find the opportunity to collaborate once again. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in, because as I finish off every single podcast, the most valuable thing that we can give one another is time. So we appreciate you, CJ, and we appreciate our listeners for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to be here. I look forward to staying in touch and showing you Cherry Picker when it launches, hopefully in May. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, CJ.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.